You're listening to The Bridge Metro West, located at 7 Strathmore Road in Natick, Massachusetts. For more information about The Bridge Metro West, our weekly Sunday gatherings, and other events, go to www.bridgemetrowest.com.
Turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy, chapter 3. While you're doing that, Deb and I went to North Carolina this week and spent some time with our parents and the mosquitoes. No wasps. There was one wasp and I left early before it got anywhere near me. But I discovered that at least North Carolina mosquitoes are a lot like South African mosquitoes. I don't know where they came from. I don't even know when they hit me. But when I woke up in the morning, I think I had lost about 80 pints of blood. Not exaggerating, maybe a little. And I haven't been this itchy since a few years ago. I did a conference in Cape Town, South Africa, and got eaten alive overnight. And I'm just severely itchy. Those are nasty, nasty mosquitoes down there. So I need a little inner healing, maybe a little deliverance. I need to bring Jesus to that memory. And I will be free again and be released of my fear and or disdain or anything else of mosquitoes. But that's not what we're here to talk about today. It was just first and foremost on my mind. I just wanted to share my burden with you because the word says to share one another's burdens. So who's sharing my mosquito burden with me today? Where's your hand? Thank you, Jesus. The rest of you heathens will call you up by name when we do altar ministry at the end of today. How many were here last week for Jeremy Marion bringing the word? It was awesome. He brought the heat and the fire, huh? And so I feel like not only am I following Jeremy, but I'm following Mama Verna today. Prophetess Verna Brookins. And that was a great word. And it's really right in line with what we're gonna be talking about. We're in a series called Charged, Awakening Legacy, Power, and Purpose. And today's message is on kingdom blueprints for leadership, or blueprints for kingdom leadership. And you may say, well, I'm not a leader. You know, Dr. Miles Monroe taught a lot on kingdom and he taught a lot on leadership. And he said, everyone is a leader. We all lead someone. We all lead something at some time. Because that's what kingdom people are called to do. When we think about what the Great Commission is, to go into all the world, to preach the gospel of the kingdom, that is, in a sense, leadership. But many of us stop, and that's really a lot of what the prophetic word was about this morning. When things get hard, we stop. But when we get beyond being chosen or being called, and a lot of us stop at the calling, we get a prophetic word. Some of us got prophetic words 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and we're waiting for God to sort of magically make the word come to pass, but we haven't recognized that we must move from being called to being chosen. And leaders understand that when things get hard, that's when it's time to celebrate, because when things get hard, that's when 90% of people stop. 95% of people stop. This is why when when people start businesses, you know, entrepreneurs, within 5 years, 95% of those businesses are out of business because they didn't realize how hard it was going to be, how difficult it was going to be. We all are called, but we want to move from being called into being the chosen. I told Natalie a few weeks ago, I said, you know what? I don't need a big prayer team. I need a faithful one. I need people who show up and show off Jesus in their lives. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I don't need large teams, I just need faithful ones. People who recognize that, you know, when you wake up in the morning and it's hard, that's when people drop off. But I'm not gonna drop off because Hebrews 10:39 says, we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. We're a people of faith that preserve their souls. And so every time we approach a text, and we're just walking through 1 and 2 Timothy, because it's 1 and 2 Timothy is really a picture of an apostolic father being a father to a son who is not only called, but chosen to speak to the current and to the next upcoming generations, to establish a culture of the kingdom for generations to come. Because the book of Proverbs says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And that's not just talking about money. It's talking about culture. It's talking about legacy. What are you leaving? Not only to your children, but to the children's children. And not only just to your children, but to the children's children of this land. At a meeting with some leaders in South Africa who just had gotten caught up and got under circumstances, and they had stopped doing some things that they would normally do because of disappointment, because of hurt, because of unmet expectations, because of leadership failings. And they kept talking about how so many leaders in the nation were disappointed because of all of these things. And I said, you know what? This is your time to rise. We don't fall under circumstance, we rise above them. We don't stop at a stone that's in front of a tomb, we speak to it and we remove it. Yes. This is that time for us. And so when we approach any text, we think of three things. God loves people, God has a plan for you, and we want to see what God's going to do through you. I could talk all day about what God's done through me. And when I tell you what, when I talk about it, I laugh because I know me. I know me. Some of y'all would be horrified if you spent a few days in my home. Like, you know, if you were able to access, I didn't want to say that. People can hack cameras and things like that. You know, my camera system in the house is part of Apple HomeKit, so it's pretty secure, but I'm sure there's a way. Look, you honestly, you don't want to see it. Because as goofy and weird and awkward and strange as I am ever up front here at home when nobody's looking, it just gets sort of amplified 5 or 10 times. But see, I don't want to be all of that in front of you because I don't want to be a stumbling block. And I just don't want you to know everything about me like that. There are some things that are best left behind closed doors. But we want to see what God's going to do through you. We talk about, you know, our mission statement, that we want to leave the imprint of the Father's heart in everyone that we come in contact with. And we have metrics for what that looks like. You're never going to hear me say, oh, well, you don't know what Holy Spirit might be doing. Because if I have to say that, here's what I know. Holy Spirit isn't moving where we're at right now. Because when Holy Spirit moves, there's evidence. When God moves, there's evidence. When the kingdom is advancing, there's evidence. There's metrics all over Scripture. And so if we're not seeing the metrics in our lives, maybe we have become educated beyond the level of our obedience. But don't worry. Mercies are new every morning. Grace is sufficient for you. You can step back inside of His voice. You can step back inside of His name and just walk lockstep with King Jesus as He's moving across the land today. You don't have to wait for Him to fix everything. You don't have to wait for Him till you feel healthy emotionally. You can say, you know what? Give us this day our daily bread, and I'm gonna run with that bread, and I'm gonna cast it on the water and see what God does. You can do that today, amen? So I'm gonna declare this again over the house. Before the movement, there was a moment. Every movement of God, there was a moment before the movement. Perhaps your moment is today. When we come, have this expectation in your heart that maybe today is the moment that will change everything. You don't know when it's gonna be. But I can tell you, when you don't show up, you're not gonna get it. Because there have been moments over the years in this church and churches and gatherings and revivals and movements for centuries. I used to talk about watching the very first day of the Brownsville revival. I found it years ago. I downloaded it onto my laptop. And every week before Father's Day, I used to watch it. And then I got a new laptop and I lost it. But now it's on YouTube. You can find it. And I watched that whole service. I can't tell you how many times, dozens upon dozens, probably hundreds of times, I watched that service. And there was an evangelist in an old school Assembly of God church that they finally let him speak on Father's Day. You know, back in the 90s, if you had a guest speaker on a Father's Day, that was sort of a throwaway Sunday. It's kind of like Mother's Day. It just was. Like, And Steve Hill kept talking to John Kilpatrick, you gotta let me come, you gotta let me come. I know what God wants to do. And John's like, I don't know, because Steve's a little wild. You know, as weird as you think prophets might be, evangelists are like next level weird. They just are. Like guys who are real evangelists. I'm talking about hardcore evangelists. I'm not talking about someone who, you know, maybe talks to somebody in Walmart occasionally or talks to, I'm talking about guys that they never stop. They're kind of wacky people. And so finally he lets them in. He's like, the only son I have is Father's Day. And so, you know, I mean, we have plans on Father's Day. You know, it's not like Mother's Day. You know, Mother's Day, I don't know, mothers get cooler stuff, I think, and they get to go out and do, of course, you know, guys get like ties or, you know, we did beef jerky. Yeah, that was pretty good. We did well. Yeah, all that pushing. I routinely take credit for that, but. And so Steve comes in, he does a short message, probably like a half an hour, and then he starts the altar call, and it's so awkward because nobody's coming because it's Father's Day. Like, you know, altar call, old school AG church. I mean, some of you don't even know what that's like, but I mean, I was in one. I used to go to one. Of course, the old school AG church I used to come to was in revival, and so people would crash the altars all the time, but he kept going. He wouldn't stop. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know if I would have that kind of pushing in my bones to say, I know what God's going to do today. Kept saying, I know what God's going to do today. And so eventually, you know, a couple people sort of, kind of like how we do, lollygagged up to the altar. It was sort of like a pity response. I felt like there was a couple people that said, this dude ain't ever going to stop unless we actually go forward. So, hey, I'll take one for the team, guys, right? But slowly, the Spirit began to move. Some of the things that for some of us has become commonplace was brand new. I remember John Kilpatrick, he ended up getting up onto the stage. He was probably gonna try to close the service. And he got hit by the power of the Spirit and he goes down and he could not speak for the rest of the day. The presence of God began to move so powerfully that they said, we've got to continue this thing tonight. It wasn't planned, but this is what we got to do. But here's what struck me about that service more than anything. It wasn't the people that came forward. It was the people that gathered their stuff. They put their pen back into their notebook. They folded their Bibles and zipped them up into their Bible cases. And they left the meeting and they missed the move of God that day. I never forget that. Because before a movement, there is always a moment. What are you hungry for today? I know what I'm hungry for. I had to catch up with a lot of work yesterday and I just spent all day in my man cave, not doing my normal man cave stuff, but just thinking through over the next month and what I felt like God wants to impart here, what he wants to speak. And it took a lot longer than what I thought it was gonna take. And I had planned to come in earlier and pray. And I looked at the clock and it was almost 9 o'clock. And I said, yeah, you know, I'm just gonna take a shower because, you know, I was kind of stinky by that point. Like I hadn't showered for a bit and I was scruffy like I am today because I didn't shave. But, you know, but then I just felt like, you know what? Before the movement, there's a moment. And I have to be the leader in a space where no one sees. At 9 o'clock, a little after nine, of course, I did bribe myself by stopping at Chick-fil-A to get a chocolate shake. I didn't tell my wife that. She finds out a lot of things when I'm up here on the mic. I see you, I'm just ignoring you. I'm like a little toddler right now. I don't see you, Mama. I don't see you. I know I'm a little rounder than I was a few months ago, but I just needed a chocolate shake and it motivated me to come pray. What were you doing last night at 9 o'clock? I don't know, it's fine. I was pacing back and forth with a chocolate shake, calling heaven down. And the Lord began to speak to me again. We've been having a lot of conversations about my life over the last 7 years and my life of you know, chronic pain over the last 2+ decades that I've been released from, but how much time went by 2018, 19 into 2020, and we're in COVID, and you know, and there's periods where I'm just in, I'm telling you, inconsolable pain, and I'm on massive doses of medication. A couple weeks ago, I saw a video of myself at a leaders gathering in California, and I looked at my face and I said, I'm not even there. And I don't keep condemnation on myself. I don't beat myself up over these things, but I recognize, God, I lost 4, 5, 6, 7 years of life and leadership. Not functioning at the fullest capacity. Yes, sure, there was reasons. But here's what I can say, that even in the midst of pain, in the midst of this lethargy, in the midst of this fog that I was in, I showed up. Because when you're in those situations, you've got to step back and stand firm on the one thing that you know, the one thing that you can do. Show up. Consistency, accountability, faithfulness. If I could leave any 3 things with you today, it would be those 3 things, because that is what is required. In the midst of your pain, in the midst of your disappointment, in the midst of the fog, in the midst of the depression, whatever is on you, it's on you. It is not you. It is not yours. It is not my depression. It is not my anxiety. It is not my chronic pain. It was something that was on me, but it never belonged to me. So when it was time for it to go, I freely released it to the hands of the Lord. Before the movement, there was a moment. You are charged with His presence. That's great. And you can come and have an encounter, an experience. You can get fired up every Sunday if you want to. I'm telling you, if you leave the house today without having an encounter with His presence, that is on you, because He is here. But you're also charged with purpose. Too much of this, you know, prophetic river stream charismatic church, we stop at the experience, but we don't step into the responsibility of purpose. Because we want to be known. People are still reaching for identity. I see people that, you know, have been walking this life for decades, and they're still looking for identity. They're still looking for external validation. When what do we really want to be known for? We want to be known as a people who have been with God, and we want to see what God can do through you. So today, I mean, I could just stop here. Blueprints for kingdom leadership, consistency, accountability, and faithfulness. Those 3 things. That's not even in my notes today. But that's what it's about. Last week, Jeremy brought an amazing teaching. He talked about, it was really one of my favorite passages of scripture. We started working together on that and just smattered over a course of time. But the first time he talked to me about it was last August. And I was like, darn, I love that scripture. I like that. You can just throw that scripture down. The prophet puts arrows in the hands of the king and says, strike the ground. And the question was, what is in your hands? And what are you doing with it? Strike the ground until we see full victory. The week before, we talked about waging war with what you've heard. Prayer as your weapon and a platform for purpose. But let me say this. If prayer is your weapon, then character is your container. God's not just looking for people who can cry out, because I could do that. I was crying out last night. I can't help it. It was a few years ago, but I was here on a Saturday night and I was crying, man. I was like having a Holy Spirit time, shouting in tongues and, you know, waving my hands. And, you know, it was before we had that screen up, you know, by the door, and I turned around, the cleaning lady from Little Flippers was looking at the window. It was like 9 or 10 o'clock at night on a Saturday night. And I was, ooh. I got a little timid after that, I must confess. I probably should have gone and talked to her. Just kind of scared me. Turn around, you know, that late at night and you see a face pressed up against the window. You didn't understand. You get scared too. Don't judge me. God's not just looking for people who can cry out. He's looking for people who can carry what He pours out. 1 Timothy 3 brings us into some qualifications of leaders, not just for elders and deacons, but for anyone who wants to walk in kingdom responsibility. 1 Timothy 3, verse 1 and 2 out of the English Standard Version, says this: "The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach." See, this is why I don't let you guys in all the secrets of the weird things I do in my house. Because outside of the house, I'm more respectable. But inside of the house, I mean, I'm respectable, but I'm just weird. I do weird things because it amuses me. Before we got married, I told Debbie, I said, "You've got to act like everything I do is the weirdest, most outlandish thing you have ever seen, because if you don't, I will up the ante." Now, that lasted for about 2 years, but a guy's only got so much energy to up the ante. Like, now I can't even scare her. Like, I try to scare her and she just looks at me like, it's so disappointing. So I moved on to torturing Riley. It's a good time. We say a lot of things that feel nice. We think that they're good, but they don't line up with Scripture. A lot of people say, well, you know, we shouldn't aspire to the title. We shouldn't aspire to the position. We shouldn't aspire to, well, here's what the Bible says. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, which by the way is a title, guys, he desires a noble task. I'm telling you to dream again. I'm telling you to have kingdom aspirations, not only within the auspices of what we do here, but in your life out there. People like the idea of being promoted, but a lot of people don't like the idea of shaping their character so that they're promotable. So number one, blueprint for kingdom leadership. Charisma may open the door, but character holds the room. What does that look like? We had a period of time in 2007 to 2009 or so, we did a lot of events. We called them conferences. They were conferences for a while, and then eventually, you know, our conferences became like, you know, 30 people scattered around the region. They were still fun, it was still a good time. We still worship hard, no matter who was in the room. We began to notice a thing. We were bringing in a lot of younger itinerant guys, guys that we came in contact with or referred by other people, and they were trying to cut their teeth, and you know, it became very popular to become itinerant. People viewed being itinerant as like a promotion in the kingdom. I don't really believe that it is a promotion in the kingdom. I think it can be a useful tool, but it's not the thing. Paul itinerated, but you know, he planted himself for weeks and sometimes months in a city or in a region to disciple. That's what itinerating looked like back then. But we began to notice, like, some of these guys would come in and they would hoot and holler. One guy would get up on the chairs and the seats. We had a lot of prophetic people. We noticed that 2 weeks later, like, we could barely even remember their names. And I began to call it flashbang ministry. It was like, sure, there's a charisma. Sure, there is a base gifting, but it's like dropping a flashbang into a room before you go in, and it gives the illusion that something catastrophic had happened. There's a big bang and a flash and a sound, and you become sort of disoriented, and you feel like something major just happened, but when the dust settles, you realize nothing changed at all, except now you're bound. That's what I mean when I say charisma opens the door, but character holds the room. When I go and travel, and I travel a lot less now because I've just reframed my thinking. I think the Lord has reframed my thinking. But when I do travel, and even on a Sunday morning, I'm not so concerned about what happens in the moment. I'm more concerned about what happens in the wake of our departure. Because charisma can make something happen in the moment, but authority brings transformation after the moment. Charisma can bring the moment, but authority establishes the movement. I want to be at the center of a sovereign move of God that awakens, revives, renews, transforms, and reforms us, this town, the neighboring cities, the state, and the region. And is it all going to happen through us? No. But we got to do our part. Charisma may open the door, but character holds the room. And recognize that Paul does not rebuke the desire to lead. But I see a lot of people doing that these days. But he doesn't rebuke it, he refines it. If anyone aspires, he desires a noble task. Desire is good, but without depth, it's dangerous. You cannot microwave maturity. You can't fast track fruit, and you can't fake the fire of a holy life. Maybe for a day or two. When I say that, it puts the fear of God on me. Luke 6:48 says, he is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. That is what we're called to do. And so I say, don't settle for shallow, dig deep. It's time to dig deep. It's time to dig deep. Yeah. This is a word for this house today. This is a word for you, Parsa and Issa. This is a word for you, Ajay. This is a word for you. For everyone in this room, yes. It's time to dig deep. Number two, character is what you carry when no one is watching. 1 Timothy 3:4-5. He must manage his own household well. There's some more, so I'll just kind of skip ahead. It says, for if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? There's some people that come to me, they're like, hey, I want to be a leader. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to teach. And their home life is in shambles. It's a sign. And this is the word. It's not me, God. It's just the word. So I'm not talking about casting judgment or anything. I'm just reading the word. People are like, oh, that was such a great message. I'm like, I read the Bible loudly because I'm just a boisterous kind of person. But now if I do it too boisterously, I run out of breath. I got to do more cardio. Dude, I got to do more cardio. You know, and after Verna's word today, I went back to my seat and I was like, I ran out of breath already. Debbie's like, I know. You got to get rid of that belly, Paul. In humanity, we often want the stage or the promotion, the title, the increase. But God looks at the structure. How do you lead at home? How do you handle stress? How do you talk when you're tired? I was telling somebody recently, I was like, man, you guys have heard it so many times, this is gonna become wallpaper to your soul. But man, my mouth sometimes when I drive, I shouldn't even say sometimes, often when I drive, I get triggered. Dr. Dan, I get triggered. I hate that word, triggered. There's no excuse for kingdom people to get triggered. I should be taking captive every thought and making it obedient to the voice of Christ. I could blame my dad. He had a little road rage himself before road rage was popular, but it wasn't that bad. Like, I was like 8 years old or 9 years old and he called a guy a dink. And we were in the back seat, we're like, ooh. It's back in the 70s, guys. It was a different world. How do you handle stress? Because when the heat comes, the pressure comes, the things that are hidden come out. I call it a hot pack on a zit. I haven't said it in a long time. You know, have you ever had one of those? Those zits that are down deep and you're like, you know it's there. Nobody else sees it yet, but you know it hurts. Come on, Maybell, you've had zits. I don't believe you. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. No, I'm just kidding. I still get them. I'm just an oily person. And my sisters, like, they were weird. Like, when I was a kid, like, it's everywhere. Like, and they would come and they would want to pop. I'm like, leave me alone. Like, you got to put heat on it. You got to put heat on it. And then all the stuff that was hidden would come to the surface. Like, hey, we laugh and we don't want to talk about it. But your soul is the same way. What do you do when the pressure comes? We can rebuke the devil all we want. But the reality is it's probably a fire that's come across the Father's desk that he has allowed to come into your life because he wants to bring transformation. Because salvation is free, but overcoming is an option. Your private life is actually the audition for public authority. And revival will not last in shallow soil. It requires deep roots. Psalm 24, 3 and 4 says, "Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart." How do you get clean hands and a pure heart? By faith. This is not a behavioral modification program. Yes, on the other side of faith, we have responsibility. Everywhere in Scripture where grace is given, responsibility is assumed. You can track it. You can look. It's the same word for grace and favor in the Old Testament. It's a Hebrew word. In the New Testament, where grace is given, everywhere you see grace given, responsibility is assumed. It's not just a free ride. It's not just a Christian party all the time. It's not a gateway to licentiousness. It's a gateway to royal responsibility. And righteousness is, the theological term is, imputed to us from Christ, to us from his character upon our character through faith alone. And then we enter into the process of sanctification that lasts the rest of our lives, catching up to the work of the cross that he's done in our spirit, causing our soul and our flesh to come under the dominion of that perfected work of the cross in our spirit. So when you have faith, you can ascend the hill of the Lord because you have clean hands and a pure heart, as long as you lay yourself bare before him and allow him to do his work in your weakness. This is what Paul is teaching the church in Rome. He says, hey, you now have access by faith. You can do that. So say this after me. Before the movement, there was a moment. The moment refines you. And the movement requires integrity. Number three. You don't have to say that. It's just number three. We're moving on. Depth qualifies you for the demands of destiny. You guys know, I've said a lot, I don't like the word destiny. It's like it's overused. It's a big deal in the American church, but it actually is a big deal to God. It's just that to get to destiny, it's not a charismatic magic trick. It requires a depth of walk. It requires a decision that you're not gonna settle for the shallow. You're gonna dig deep. You're gonna allow the Holy Spirit to search you and know you and find those things in you that inhibit the free flow of his glory, of his love, of his power, of his anointing in your life. What are the things that he needs to remove? It's sin. And then he wants you to co-labor with him to deal with the strongholds that are in your mind, the strongholds of thinking. We don't cast strongholds out, we tear them down brick by brick. And how do we do that? The renewing of the mind comes through the washing of the water of the word. 1 Timothy 3:10 says this, "And let them also be tested first, and let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless." The platform is not the place of proving. The place of proving comes before you get the platform or the promotion. I'm not talking necessarily about platform. I'm just talking about the place where God has actually called you. You want to move from calling to being chosen? This is it. Let them be tested first. And here's the thing. A lot of times we feel like testing is punishment. We're like, God, why? Why me? I've had moments like that. Not a lot. That's not a major issue for me. I don't question, even in the midst of all the pain and the loss that we've experienced over the last 7 years, that's just not me. I'm strong in that area, but I'm weak in other areas. And so I can be the strength that's perfected in your weakness, but you're strong in areas that I'm weak. Some of you guys have probably never given a hand gesture to people on Route 9. I mean, mine are holy. I'm just raising my hand in praise to the Lord. And say, Father, forgive them, for they clearly don't know what they're doing. Bless you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bless their heart. That's what I'd say if I lived in Georgia. But the testing season is not punishment. It's preparation. Some people that come to me, they're like, ah, they're freaking out over life. And internally, I'm smiling because I'm like, ooh, they're going through a test. This is great. And if you fail the test, good news, there are infinite retakes. It's an open book test, guys. Good news, but not really good news. So maybe pass it the first time so you don't have to go through it again. I'll let you know when I do that. The fire you're in is forming the vessel that can hold a move of God. Let it come. 2 Timothy 2:21 says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master. Don't despise the process. I know it's hard. I feel a lot of grace in this. I know it's hard. But recognize it for what it is. Don't despise the process. It is the pathway to power. If you skip the depth of the moment, you will miss your destiny. As I was walking back and forth, I didn't really finish the statement. The Lord was showing me and reminding me of the last few years. And I started remembering R.T. Kendall's book on the anointing. And some of you have read it, some of you not. It's a great book. It's a hard book. But in the book, he's really writing about David and Saul. And he calls Saul yesterday's man. He said, God, I don't want to be yesterday's man. I want to be faithful today. I began to think about like that COVID season. Look, I had reasons. I had, you know, I mean, I was in pain and, you know, physical things, nerve pain, things that I'd endured for decades. We lost, you know, our mom, and then my dad had brain cancer, and I was flying back and forth and trying to help and trying to do everything that I could in a sense. But as I prayed last night, if I could be honest, and again, I don't feel any condemnation. The Lord shapes me in the way that he talks to me. I felt like the Lord said, that was the time when kings go out to war, but you stayed home. Whew. Give us this day our daily bread. I don't want to be yesterday's man. Not for me. I love this land so much. There are places I could have gone. There were churches over the years that called us, places where people wanted us to be. People even, you know, gave us words about moving to California, or we thought we were gonna be on staff at a mega church in Raleigh for a while, but I was like, no, my heart really wasn't in it. But I would have taken the paycheck. I had to tell the Lord that. I was like, God, if this isn't you gotta shut the door, because I will say yes. And he was faithful and he shut the door. I'm so glad my feet are still planted on the ground that I love. I was in a green room in a mega church in Johannesburg, South Africa, and ended up, you know, ministering to the number two guy in the nation. I'd been talking to him for a half an hour, just having fun. I didn't know who he was. And I said to the Lord, God, there are guys in our movement that would kill for this. We'd take selfies and we'd put it on Facebook and say, I prophesied to kings. And it's like, God, this is cool. And look, I'll do this because I'm here. But God, would you give me New England? It's where I want to be. I began to realize, well, I know more leaders in South Africa than I do in Metro West. I know more leaders in California than I do in Metro West. I know more politicians in other areas than I know. I don't know a single politician in Metro West. And so I've begun to be much more intentional about connecting and with people outside of our stream, because I'm realizing that where God is moving right now among the generations and multi-generations is actually outside of our stream. And so I finally had to realize, well, maybe the stream really isn't the bee's knee. Maybe it's the people that say, I can do nothing of myself. I can only do what I see the Father doing. You guys heard me talk about recently going to this pastor's meeting, and it was just guys from I don't think there was another church like ours represented there, but I was seeing pastors and leaders of mega churches that I didn't even know existed in New England, on their faces weeping before the Lord. It wasn't the leaders of the small churches. It was the men who were leading thousands weeping before the Lord and on behalf of this land. And the criticisms that they endure, because we equate preference with his presence. Not in this house. If you skip the depth, you'll miss the destiny. Last point. I'm supposed to be closing right now. But I'm going to do this anyway. 1 Timothy 3:15. The household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth. I'll just read that section. Depth produces durability, guys. We must endure. Consistency, accountability, and faithfulness is the key to durability. And the church is not called to just be a crowd. Revival isn't just people coming to our great meetings. It's transformation, really, of the nations, the ethnos, the people groups that are even represented within a 5-mile radius of this house. The church is not called to be just a crowd. It's a pillar. And you don't build pillars out of fluff. You build them out of a fortified substance. Your character is what holds up the next move of God. And the generation, you know what this generation doesn't need? It doesn't need more influencers. It was like, I don't know how many years ago, it was the first time I was on one of the social media apps and there was this little blonde girl from Australia thinking, she goes, I'm an influencer. I literally spit my drink out. I was like, what is that? What are you influencing? And the reality is, the things that they spoke came to being and they started to become the influence in culture. But where was the church? Generation doesn't need influencers. We need pillars of the community. We celebrated Papa Jack's life. He was a pillar in communities, not just this one. Man, if you only knew what that man and this woman have walked through over the last 40, 50 years, you would look at her differently. And we love and we honor, for sure. But the first time I came to your house and you told me your story, I was floored. I was educated. And I thought, this is what leadership actually looks like. We need people who stand when it's hard, lead when it's costly, love when it's inconvenient, and live with consistency. We want to be known as a people who have been with God and who walk like Him. In a moment, we're going to call you up. I want the ministry team to be ready. Not yet. You may feel unqualified. You may feel exposed. Like God's shining a light on areas that you have avoided. I experienced that in this room last night by myself in a secret place. But it's not condemnation. It's an invitation. God is not looking for perfection. He's looking for surrender. Will you go deeper? Will you let Him deal with the hidden places? Will you trade surface Christianity for spiritual substance? I was going to tell you to close your eyes, but we're going to have lyrics up on the screen. And let's run that song and dive in deep. Come on.
The spark, I've loved the flame, but I'm done with fire that won't remain. I've danced in noise, I've stood on stages, but hollow hearts don't turn the ages. You're not impressed by shallow sound. You want a life that's holy ground. So here I am with nothing hidden. You don't want my show, you want me fully given. Don't settle for shallow, you're digging in me, breaking the surface, making me clean. This is the moment, I draw the line. not chasing stages, but your face. I want a character that holds your grace. You see the thoughts I won't confess, the words I speak under the stress. Still you see me, still you choose to write revival in my wounds. Don't settle for shallow, you're digging in me, breaking the surface, making me clean. This is the moment I draw. Dig deeper, let me remake you. Lay down my compromise, pick up the cross. Let my weakness be the altar where your fire falls. You're not after perfection, you want surrender. So I go deeper, deeper, deeper. Don't settle for shallow, I'm digging in. Where the spirit flows and the truth begins. This is my vow, this is my cry. Let holiness rise and my old self die. Substance, not just noise. I surrender, I surrender. You're the potter, I'll be the altar. Don't settle for shallow, I'm going deep. Let revival run in me.
So I stood here last night, my own altar time. I actually love it when the Lord breaks me, rebukes me, corrects me, because his word says he disciplines those that he loves. I'm here for it. But I would say last night was one of the top two breaking moments in the last maybe 10 years of my life. When he said, that was the time when kings go out to war and you stayed home. I'm going to open up the altar space. And if you just want to do business with God, whatever that means to you, someone asked me, what does that actually mean? I don't know. It just means that sometimes you don't even know. I've come to so many altars in my life where I just crashed the altar and I didn't know why, but I knew that I needed to be there, and it was on the other side of my obedience that he began to give me the why and the whys that made me wise.
Thank you for listening to this message from the Bridge Metro West in Natick, Massachusetts. Paul David Guidry is the senior pastor at the Bridge. For more information about the Bridge Metro West family, our gatherings and events, visit www.bridgemetrowest.com or call us at 508-651-0277.